Hey, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm going to talk about a new training program that I've come up with, and I'm really excited about it. I'll explain. You know, back in the olden days, and I guess we could call the olden days for me back in the 80s, as many of you know, but I'm going to make a little more of a story of it today because it's going to lead us into today's subject. For years, I ran a theater. That was the way it was. You know, I got out of a theater school. I had ideas about what I thought acting could be. I wanted to start teaching. It was just something that was in my blood. And so I'm coming from a family of teachers, and I also wanted a place where I could perform and I could put things together and direct. And so I think in the beginning I tried to get into some theater companies around town and in Los Angeles. And, you know, I heard what you would hear, and that's okay. Well, if, you know, first you do this, then you do that. Then if you do this and do that, then when you've done that, we'll do this, and then you can start, and you'll be basically, you know, cleaning the theater as a young apprentice, and then you'll get to a point where you'll this, and then you'll that, and it just sounded so structured, and like it would take me forever, and I certainly didn't have the patience then, and I barely have it now, but I thought, you know, I think I could just go out and build my own theater. Then I could have my own space, I could do my own thing, and then I could clean up my own floors, which is truly what happened. But so then I found this property, and I created this theater that I designed and built, and then I had this beautiful laboratory, and I could teach all my classes there and do all the things I loved, which included, of course, as I've mentioned, you know, building sets and trying to figure out the special effects. And I had a number of them, and I tried to really nail them, you know, like it was torrentially raining during one show, it snowed during another show, there was an earthquake. Whatever the special effects were, I wanted to get it to where the audience thought it was actually happening. Everything for me was, as I mentioned in the last podcast, I wanted the audience to totally fall into what was going on. And of course, one of the best aspects of that particular laboratory was sitting up in that booth on all the nights I wasn't in some show, and I frequently wasn't. I just directed and produced it, and I would sit and watch the heads, the back of the heads of all the audience, and I'd watch what was going on stage. And I would see how that corresponded, you know, the energy you feel in the room. When the audience is being had and they are totally into what's going on, you know, it's just pin drop quiet. That's just how it is. That's just the barometer. If you hear paper shuffling and people clearing their throats, the audience isn't being had. That's just a fact. I know that from, you know, all those years running a theater. It's obvious. And I know this may be obvious to some of you, but just so you know, if you're sitting in a theater somewhere and it's full and you can hear noises while, you know, something important is going on stage, the show, for whatever reason, is missing its mark. It doesn't have the audience. And when the audience is had, that energy, it is absolutely pin drop quiet. I have to tell you, I've been in those moments on stage, and it is electrifying. It's electrifying in how absolutely quiet the room gets. It's like this thick cotton. You can just feel it reverberating in its silence, and it's incumbent on your next move, your next thing. What are you doing next? Everyone, you can feel that energy. At the moment you're feeling it, it's also affirming the fact that, you know, you're in that sweet groove. You're where you're supposed to be. The audience is totally with you. No one is moving a muscle. And they want to know what's going to happen next. I mean, the real beauty of that is that they actually care. That they're actually enjoying what's going on so much that time has stopped for them. And they really, really want to know what's going to happen next. I think then the best compliment you get is that, you know, you're telling your story and man, people are digging it. And I think for a performer, a producer, a theater owner, that would be the thing that you would probably most want, of course. You would want full and complete delivery of your story to the point that, you know, people liked it that much. The repetitive nature as the actor, being able to go up and do it again and again. As I've mentioned, that sense of being able to finally settle into the saddle, having the time to settle enough to be able to just relax in this performance mode thing where people are watching, and you know, it's that's that thing we run into in film and television, but it just gets stretched out because you get to hang, there are no cuts, and of course we're acting in real time and people are responding to us and we can feel it, and it really is the best experience for the actor. I've said that working in film and television, if I could make an analogy with golf, it would be like, you know, in some shows you work on your chipping game, some your putting, some your drives, you know, your irons, and you're working on different aspects here and there depending on the part. But when you do a play, it's like tournament. It's where you bring all aspects of everything you know and do, and you bring it into a thing that is live, and it just continues on. And I think that is really the best thing. And I've mentioned before that that's how I grew up, you know, in theater, doing theater. That's what we did. And I've noticed that, you know, there are a lot of theater actors that can just end up being wonderful film actors. But film actors don't necessarily make great theater actors. And that's not bias. It's just because of the training. The idea of having to be out on stage and, you know, be in charge of that audience, you know, and then filming and being mic'd and really being able to much more readily, of course, cancel out the things around you because, you know, you're not waiting for their response. You know, it's a different gig when you're acting for film. Going from that medium, going from a film or TV thing, you know, where in a way there's a tunnel around you where you can work within it and you're not walking out onto a stage and you know you have the safety net of cut and action. It's just a different thing. Great film actors don't necessarily translate on stage. So if there was one discipline that you were really, really going to train in, certainly in the beginning, I would always say that it should be theater. A great place to work from, and certainly it has a special place in my heart, but recently, because I'd been thinking about theater, I'm going to do a little theater, and I know in the old days that was just part of my curriculum when I was working with actors. It would generally culminate in me putting them through it by then putting together what we always called an evening of scenes. And in a small theater locally, you know, well, it would have been my own when I had it, but then even after when I would rent them. And we invite all the friends and family and industry, anyone you want, and they come in and they watch. We do a 7 o'clock show and a 9:30 show. And it'd be two-person scenes, and there might be, 10, 12 scenes. There could be, you know, but because there would be two people, so you might have anywhere from 18 to 24, and we'd put these scenes together. I would direct everything and then produce it in a way that the scenes just flowed. The lights would go out, they'd come up, be the next one. Everything was slick and well-produced and certainly well-acted, and what it did for the actors, you know, performing live in front of people and working off them. And then, you know, you have a 7 o'clock show with enough time to go out and thank people for showing up. And then we'd sit around, discuss things before the 9:30 show. Both shows ran, you know, an hour and 15 to an hour and 20. with all the scenes. So it was an easy evening for people. They got to see a potpourri of action. And of course, as I said, well produced, and to where the audience always felt like that was just an enjoyable evening. You know, you just saw one thing after another seamlessly with just lovely actors doing lovely work. I mean, you know, what's not to like? I've decided to resurrect that. I've decided that I want to turn that into a training program because I think it's just the best thing that could be done. It's basically what I do, which is, you know, I go into a city and I teach classes. I have a two-day intensive, or I have a weekly classes, as I do right now in Toronto while I'm here. And except that it would culminate in the actors getting to do four performances, 7, 9:30, next night 7, and 9:30. So they'd get four chances to do these scenes, which I would have it around, I think, anywhere from 5 to 7 minutes. So they're good length scenes. And then, of course, I would weave them in a way and produce them one after another to where we could very slickly and effortlessly have the show flow from one thing to the next. And the way it would work is I would get into town a week before that, and I would have everyday rehearsals for all the scenes, and you could come in anywhere from 9 to 9 at night. You'd book an hour, and we'd have five of those, which would be plenty of time for us to get something ticky-boo that we could then show to people, and you could pick a time depending on your work schedule, so it'd be very flexible for everyone. So for 5 days, you know, we kind of have this rehearsal place where you meet with me and do it. And those of you that want to stay and watch all day, part of the day, the other scenes, whatever you want, of course, that's part of your tuition and the plan. But those of you that are busy, as long as you can get in for that hour each day, we do that. And then on the final 2 days, we have a space rented. We get in early and get used to the space, and I would direct all the ins and outs and how we're going to move things. My thing in doing this always was we never moved furniture. That's what really kills these things. Just as an aside, I'll tell you. I would just set up the set with various areas, and we would never touch anything except props in and props out that we needed for whatever reason. But it gave a sense of just smooth kind of elegance to the day. We didn't trouble ourselves with, you know, oh, move that chair 2 feet over and put the ottoman up there. You know, we just made everything work, different scenes in different areas. And it's a beautiful evening for the people coming in to watch. And it makes it really easy for the actors because they get to come in and go out. But you'd have four opportunities to really understand some things about your work, what's best, how it's working, you know, when the audience laughs, when you come in, all sorts of things that you just have to learn live. So this is what I'm going to do. And I'm actually now telling you all this because I'm in Toronto presently till towards the end of May. Then I'm going to stop in Calgary for 3 days. And then I'm going to Vancouver. And I think I'd like to try this for the first time in Vancouver. So I'm making that announcement now. For those of you listening, wherever you are, this is something I want to start to do now rather than just going into a town and only doing a two-day intensive or some classes. I want to have this particular program set up. It's a total of 7 days. The first five are just rehearsals privately with each of the scenes, and then on the last 2 days, we put the whole thing together. Now, the beauty is, too, and here's a really fun aspect. I want it to be more than just about acting. I want to share with you everything I know about creating theater for people, because, as you know, and I just keep telling you, I used to run one. So I truly know about everything from, you know, how you put together an inexpensive program to, you know, what you have in your concessions and, you know, what the audience is like, what they really care about, what they don't, how you get them to show up, and the idea of producing theater. And so to that end, anything we make on an evening, because the audience will be charged a nominal price, you know, to come in and see. I'm sure you've got the supporters. Imagine if we had a 90-seat theater, there were 18 actors in it. If each person got five people to show up to a performance, we'd be packed the whole time. Any profit made goes back into a pool, and everybody splits it up evenly, and it pays back their tuition. So there's a very good chance you'd get most of your tuition back if you could just get the people to show up to watch you on a show. So there's a great incentive there. And then understand how you might be able to maximize your return, which is, again, something else actors never, ever confront. They never go through that these days. It's never anything they're really involved in. And I think it's a great lesson. And then everyone has incentive to make sure that every seat is full and you've got the excitement of putting something together and watching it succeed and be successful and getting a little fruit back in return, which I think makes the whole thing dreamy. I don't know. Am I just a deluded old man? Because I think this sounds like a whole heap of fun. And I'm telling you, man, there is just nothing like performing live. So for those of you that are interested, wherever you are, send me an email to jseymour878@gmail.com or message me, however you young kids do it these days. And tell me if you're interested, and we'll figure out. I mean, obviously, ahead of time, we have to find the spot. Right now, I have people looking for me in Vancouver. I mean, I did live there for 3 years once. But to find an appropriate space, and then those of you interested, start emailing me. Tell me that sounds like fun. I'll give you the rest of the details. But I think it's going to be fun, and I hope the first one I do is in Vancouver, and that would be like in the first and second week of June. So those of you that think you might want to trod the boards with me, then by all means, get a hold of me, okay? So this ends up being a bit of a podcast and a bit of an infomercial, but listen, it's a training program, and I think it's groovy. Anyway, that's what I have for you. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. I'm Jeff Seymour. If you'd like to find out more about the Real Life Actor approach, I have a book on Amazon, The Real Life Actor. Or you can go to the Real Life Actor website, reallifeactor.com. It's all there. Thanks again for listening.